In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
It's good to see each one of you today. Joyous Lord's Day, as we gather together to praise Him and worship Him. So, I have a thought experiment for you all. You ready? Imagine it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you hear a loud knock at the door. You're lying in bed, peacefully, blissfully sleeping, of course. No uncomfortable sleeping or bad dreams. Just sleeping wonderfully, and the door, someone's knocking at the door. Now, you have you have some choices on what you can do in that moment. You could lie there and just ignore it, which might be a bad idea because what if it's the fire department? There's a fire next door and they want you to evacuate. What if there's a mad killer on the loose and they're warning you to, you know, lock all your doors and stuff? But you could just lay there, ignore it. Or you could jump out of bed and rush the door and swing it open and just let whoever it is into your house. That might be a bad idea too, right? The third option, which is the one that I recommend, get up, calmly go to the door, ask a couple very probing questions. Who is this? Where are you from? Why are you here? Before you ever open the door. And I think everyone here can all agree that's probably the best of the three options is to ask those probing questions before you ever unlock the door and ever give them any access to your house. So if we all do this with our homes, why don't we do it with our thoughts? More so than our thoughts even, than with our feelings. Do we stop and ask those questions? Where are you from? Why are you here? And who are you? Are they intrusive forces? Are there something from my own mind coming up? Are they something from a demon? Are they from somewhere else? Are they from a podcast I listened to earlier in the day that I probably shouldn't have been listening to? Now we think about the demoniac in the gospel today, and that's the story of the Gadarene demoniac appears in Luke and in Matthew. In Luke, there's one guy. In Matthew, there's two. But the theme is exactly the same. There's this person, and it's always so tragic when I hear this gospel reading because if you picture yourself with the disciples and Christ watching all this happen, this man says his name is Legion. This man calls himself by the demons. He identifies with the demons. He doesn't have his own name anymore, and we still to this day don't know what that man's name is unless there's something in church history that I haven't read yet, right? We just know him as Legion. He had a ton of demons in him. But that didn't happen overnight, right? We have all this imagery. A lot of what we know about demons and evil forces, we probably learned from Hollywood, so it's probably all incorrect, you know? It sells tickets, but it's not necessarily true, you know? There's not a chance you're going to be sitting there on your couch one day and suddenly black smoke's going to go up your nose and you're suddenly possessed by legions of demons and you're being zombie, you know, like a zombie being forced to go do evil things, you know, prepare for the end of days and all these things. We are possessed by demons one thought at a time. That thought comes along, and you hear it, and you're like, yes, I like that thought. Or you have a feeling, and that feeling comes along, and you say, yeah, I like that feeling. And then another one, and then another one. And then another one. And every time that there's a knock at that door of your heart, you open it and you let them in. And then before you know it, your house is full of bad stuff. And you know, like we've mentioned this before, it's easier to keep a bad friend out of your house than to get them out after they're in. Because once they've made a place on your couch and they start raiding your fridge, it's hard to get rid of them. Don't let them in. And the sad thing about this type of living where we entertain these thoughts that come along and we just mindlessly go through life being pulled this way and that way by every impulse. You see something on TV and you have a reaction and it's like, oh, this is happening again and da-da-da-da, what's going to happen? Where's that thought coming from? What's it there to do? Why is it in your mind? Why is that thought coming to you? Is it there to destroy you? Probably. Or is it there to save you? And you'll notice this, that living like this is no way to live, because even the swine, now keep in mind, this man, he welcomed these demons in and he lived, he was naked. Nothing on earth could control him. No chains could control him. He lived among the dead. He was isolated. He was away from friends and family and neighbors. And after he was healed, Christ sends him back to his home. So he had a home. There was no way to live. And it was so bad that even the swine, the filthy, dirty, rotten swine that were unclean, would rather die than to live as he did. And that's why they ran off into the water. And so we're called today, like, what type of life do you want to live? I think, you know, if the swine would like to live this, I'd rather live maybe just a little bit better than them. That's a good place to start, right? So when those thoughts come along, you have a choice, my friends. You have a choice. And I say this is choice that's been given to us today because of Jesus Christ. You know, before Jesus Christ, we only had to go along with the demons. That's the only option we had. Christ comes to us and he offers us freedom just as he did the demoniac. And he says, I offer you a better way, a way of life, a way of truth, a way of freedom, a way of love, a way of eternity. So we are called today to take control of our thoughts and to choose a better way. And that choice is not a one and done deal. You don't just sit down and say the sinner's prayer and you're magically saved. It is a day by day thing. It is a moment by moment thing. And some days will be better than others, and some days will be much harder. But you choose. I do not want that life of this below the swine. I want the life that is above the angels, that is being offered to me by Jesus Christ. So when a thought comes along, ask it those same questions you would ask that person at your door at 2 a.m. Why are you here? I'm not joking, y'all. Do it. You have that thought come along, oh, just, you know, Chad's a jerk. Wait, really? Is he though? Why would I have that thought about so-and-so? Oh, I'm no good. I'll never do anything good in my life. Well, really? Is that true? Where did that thought come from? And why is it there? What does it come to do to me? What does that thought come to do? And I say more than thoughts, feelings are the same way. You know, you have that feeling, oh, today's a horrible day. I just feel so despondent, or I feel so angry, or I feel so anxious. Where's that anxiety coming from? And why is it in your house? What is it there to do to you and to your family and to your friends and to your life? And this is a really practical advice. Spend time in silence asking yourself what you're thinking. Don't just go through life blindly thinking and feeling things and then just kind of reacting, being tugged to and fro by them. What am I feeling right now? Do it during the liturgy. Stop and pray. What am I feeling right now? Am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling despondent? Am I feeling annoyed by whatever thing's going on in the parish that Satan's like, hey, do you hear that person over there? It happens. Ask yourself, what's going on? What am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling it? Is it from God or from the devil? And after you've are honest with yourself about what you're going through and what you're feeling and what you're thinking and what it's doing to you and everyone around you, do the next important thing. Offer it to Christ. Offer it to Christ. Don't ever, many saints have said this, and I will just repeat what they've already said. Don't fight the demons on your own. You can't. They're too wise. They're too strong. They're too ancient. They're smart. Don't do it on your own. Instead, run to Christ. Because the closer you are to Christ, you'll notice at the end of this parable, the story today in the gospel, where was the demoniac? Sitting at Christ's feet. He was sitting at Christ's feet like a child at the foot of their parent or a student at the foot of their master. That's what we do. We run and we run down and we fall at his feet and say, Lord, I'm feeling so anxious today. I'm so upset about this thing that's happening in my life. I'm so worried about this. I'm feeling despondent. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling manic. Help me, save me, and have mercy on me. And as we've noted, when we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, we're not saying, don't beat me up. We're saying, save me. We're like the blind men outside of Jericho who come to Christ and say, Son of David, have mercy on us. They're begging him to save him, save them. And so we say to him, save me, Lord. I'm so worried right now. I'm so angry right now. I'm so anxious right now. And just say it. Just say it to him. That's your prayer, right? Lord, I feel so angry right now. Lord, I feel so anxious right now. Lord, I am so despondent right now. And when things get better for you, I say, Lord, I'm so full of joy right now. And I'm so thankful right now for what you've given me and that you freed me from these bonds and these chains. Run to him. Offer it to him. We do all this because we know what we are facing is beyond us and stronger than us and greater than us. Life is too great for any of us to live on our own. Demoniac ran out in the wilderness. Like we said, the only thing you can do on your own is go to hell. So he runs off by himself, getting ready to go to hell. Look to one another, love one another, run to Christ, ask the saints for their help, talk to your guardian angel, ask your guardian angel for their help. Look to Christ as our Lord and Savior and the only one who can save us from evil. And then in that moment, when we open our door and we call out, Jesus Christ, enter the house, enter under the roof of my heart. And the Holy Spirit comes to us. And even today, we're going to receive Christ physically in the Eucharist. He's going to enter into us. And he's going to come to heal us and make us whole, just as he did to the man in the gospel today. We have the saints as our champions, helping us and encouraging us to keep up the good fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. That there's only the greatest of all of the sins, you might think it might be lust or murder or whatever, is despair. Don't despair. Keep your faith. Keep hoping and trusting and believing. And trust me, you say, well, Father, how do you know it works? You're just repeating what you've read in a book. No, it's worked in my life. And look around you at all these people who have been transformed because they stuck with it and they offered their life to Christ. Look at the walls. They're with us today, a cloud of witnesses. So I encourage you, especially during the liturgy, watch your thoughts, watch your feelings, be honest about what's going on in your life, and then offer it to Christ. Do it all the time. Make it a constant thing. It's just the way you think, and it's the way you feel, and it's the way you interact with everything. And if we can do this, my friends, then we, like the man who used to be called Legion, that we too can be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.